the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Henry.
I will resign. It's my hope. And I pray with all my heart.
I can't say enough about our team and the way that we've played all year long.
Are you going to be endorsing specific candidates?
I will, and I will be attending as many events for these candidates.
He should resign, and I've agreed to sign a letter. We can't have in the White House.
Surge is not working.
The illiterate fag.
World-famous Phil Henry show till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Chris Norton joins us this hour to discuss if a woman can be elected president of the United States of America. Plus, Howard Stern may take over for Simon Cowell. He ain't going to take over for Simon Cowell. But they think Howard Stern's going to take that gig over there on American Idol. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You know, we're kicking off another week. What better way to start the week than by watching our downloadable video, actually our downloadable audio on our website, philhenryshow.com, or watch our video archives at philhenryshow.com. If you want, right now, go ahead to our website, and you can watch a video cast, our live video cast, every night. The show is on live video. It's the PhilCam, baby, right here in our closet studio. Bud Dickman, along with Robert Leonard and the whole crew. And you can watch as this entire disaster goes down each and every night. Right? Right. All right. I say disaster in a relative sense. I mean a disaster for all the other radio shows that cannot quite possibly meet the entertainment style that this one does each and every night. But I'm digressing here. With us is Chris Norton. Chris is a pharmaceutical telemarketer from the South Bay in Southern California. He's also an aspiring aspiring film professional. He's done some modeling. He's also an actor in some adult films and has written a blog that we're very, very anxious to read called Beauty is in the Eye of the Voter. And Chris joins us by phone on our newsmaker line tonight from the South Bay in Los Angeles. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing very well, and thank you for having me.
Chris, Beauty is in the Eye of the Voter essentially makes the case that while we have elected a African-American president, a minority president, if you will, we are not anywhere near ready to vote for a woman for president. You say it's 50 years, correct?
We put around, I think it's going to be about 50 years, Mr. Henry. I think that we won't have a female president because of a lot of the things that I outline in the blog.
We're just not ready for that.
No, sir, I don't think we are. I mean, I think we're ready for a black president, and obviously we were ready for a black president. We voted for a black president, and I don't doubt that we're probably ready within the next maybe 10, 20 years for another minority president, maybe a Jewish president or Hispanic. But when I became interested in writing this blog is because I am a male model, and I've had in my life, I guess, a lot of people compliment me on my looks, and, you know, I've been told I'm very good-looking, and I am. And so I've had a lot of contact with women, and I look at women, and I can see whether or not they are going to make good in the sense of, like, say, a politician. And so that's why I wrote the blog.
Now, you're basing the reason that we're not going to have a female president on your own perception of women?
No, I'm basing on what I know about America, and then what I know about America, then I put into the equation. What I know about America is that Americans are not going to vote for a woman for president unless she is someone who's going to be able to go on a foreign diplomatic mission and will be able to go toe-to-toe or eye-to-eye, if you will, with a foreign leader. We need a female president who's going to, be strong enough at the same time as someone that you can sell the American people.
Let me ask you some specifics, and Chris, do you think Sarah Palin, and I know that you don't see a female being elected president of the United States for 50 years, is that correct?
Yeah, we said between 50 and 60 years, yeah.
What about Sarah Palin? If say this was 50 years down the road.
that would depend. But
well, let's say this was 50 years down the road, and we're talking about these issues.
Well, I don't think Sarah Palin would be elected, and the reason why I say that is she, the group of women that we have, let's just say the group of women that we have right now that were running for president or vice president are not really, truly, I mean, they're not attractive enough. I mean, if you look at the trouble Hillary Clinton had, as opposed to the trouble that Sarah Palin had, they didn't have anywhere near the trouble that Sarah Palin had, or I mean, she had more trouble.
She had more trouble than Sarah Palin, based on what? Just not attractive enough?
Just not attractive enough, but I can tell you right now, Sarah Palin's not that attractive. I have been asked that question. Would I do a scene, say, in an adult film with Sarah Palin? And I don't mean to be disrespectful. I know she's a...
Well, you've been in adult films, right?
I've been in, yes. I have been in a couple, and I mostly worked crew on a few, but I would not. No, I would not. And
you would not? All right. Without getting into specific, I don't like the idea of talking about the former governor of Alaska and, you know, an American leader this way, but you're saying she's not attractive enough?
Not.
I don't care about the sexual part.
Well, I mean, she's just not. No, her hair is, it looks like it hasn't been combed. I mean, you know, and she, Sarah Palin is not attractive, okay? I don't want to have to, you know, anybody, she's just not attractive. She's almost attractive. I think people show pity for her for being almost attractive, so they cheer her on, but she's not stacked. I mean, she looks a little like a pig.
All right, see, that's what I'm talking about. I don't want to get into, you know, that kind of language.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, when you're talking about she's not stacked, but the fact is, and pig.
I didn't mean that. I meant to say pug, but it's the same thing. She's just not that hot, you know, and I think what you need to do.
All right, let's get off of Sarah Palin and obviously Hillary Clinton.
No, it's not going to happen.
So you're telling me that the American voter needs a woman to run for president who is sexually alluring?
Well, one of the things about sexuality and sex is in every if presidents like President Obama, he is sexual and women enjoy his sex. I'm very, you know, women have commented on my sexuality, you know, and I do have a lot of sexual energy. But if I look at Sarah Palin, she does not emit a lot of sex, you know, a lot of sex, and neither does Hillary Clinton, and neither, for that matter, does, you know, I don't want to be, you know, say, but I mean, Michelle Obama is not, you know, and they put her down.
Oh, I want to get a comment. What do you think of her as being the 93rd sexiest woman in the world? Was that it?
Yeah, that was unfair to the First Lady. I mean, she's our First Lady, and I respect her, but there's no way. You know, there's nothing sexy about her. I mean, she's nothing sexy about her. There's nothing particularly well-dressed about her. I mean, she's our First Lady. And, you know, I respect that and everything, but she's not sexy. And so I think that's the disservice that's being done to the American people. Right now, we just don't have a good crop of hot... You know, there is one woman who may, and her name's Jenny Sanford. Have you heard about?
Yeah, she's the wife of Mark Sanford, the guy that had the affair with the Argentinian telejournalist. Yeah.
She's the wife of who?
She's the wife of the South Carolina governor.
Oh, okay. Well, I saw her on Larry King's night, and she does have a sexuality about her. I think her husband cheating on her with an Argentinian person?
Yeah, a lady was Argentinian.
You know, that's surprising, because if you look at Jenny Sanford, she looks like there's, you know, she's got some set, you know, sexuality and sexual energy, you know, to do it.
All right, so Chris, really what you're saying here in this blog, Beauty is in the Eye of the Voter, that the first and foremost thing that is needed by any woman running for president of the United States is that she be sexy, or at least attractive.
Well, I mean, let's talk about Mark Sanford. He goes down to Argentina, and he's got an Argentinian mistress, and she's hot, and you would say, all right, why doesn't he bring her back to America, and she'd be elected in a second, but he can't do that because she's Argentina. If you say...
Argentina.
Argentina, I'm sorry. Okay, and that's too bad, because he picked out a very, very hot... You know, I've seen her, man. She's hot. Okay, she's very hot, and there's a lot of sexual energy from both of them. Mark Sanford has a lot of sexuality, there's no doubt. But Jenny Sanford, is hot, but only American hot.
All right. Well, let me ask you this before we go to the break. So there's no American women that would never make it as president.
No, they'd never get elected.
They'd never get elected. I'm sure they'd be great presidents. Would you care to comment on that?
Well, I don't. I'm just talking about. Well, I don't know. I've been probably the only one that would be good would be maybe Hillary Clinton. I don't know if Sarah Palin would be any good or not, but I can tell you. She's not being very honest with her hotness. I mean, she's just not. There's no hot. I don't know. If she's lying to American people about being hot, then she could be lying about a lot of stuff.
Well, she's not trying to be hot. She doesn't strike me as a woman that's putting it out there.
No, I don't know. I mean, she's not discouraging or nothing. No, I just don't think it's going to happen. We would never support a Palin or a Clinton to be president of the United States. American voters just won't vote for her. Well, you know, I hope you forgive me. It's called fugly. Okay.
Yeah, I know what fugly means, and I don't want to get too, infantile.
No, sir. I mean, it's a candidate because we're not ready to commit to a woman who isn't capable of getting fit or a woman who's doing her hair right or putting on, you know, the right amount of makeup. So, and that's my statement on, you know.
All right. So, Chris, you do not believe Palin, Clinton, there isn't a woman anywhere, including the first lady, that qualifies as sexy or attractive enough to be president. And so, therefore, we won't elect one for 50 to 60 years. In 50 years' time, are we going to get a little more mature with the way we view female candidates?
Well, I don't think we're going to be people who want some hag, you know, but we're not going to want a bag. You're not going to want to put a bag on a bread, you know, bag the president. So,
I don't understand. Bag the president.
Like a three bag.
You talk about putting a paper bag on the president.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you, bud.
Yeah, if you don't want to put a three bag. You don't want to vote for a three bag president. So, I would say
in the year 2050.
In 2050, yeah, they're still not going to go for you're not going to go for a double bag. You'll vote for a man before you have to slip a bag on a president. For a press conference, you'll vote for a man.
All right, Chris. 877-876-PHIL. Chris Norton joining us on the likelihood of a woman becoming president. Not going to happen for the next 50 or 60 years. And part of the reason, this recent crop of women that were running for president, not hot enough, not sexy enough, with maybe the exception of Jenny Sanford, but she wasn't running for anything. That's Chris Norton. 877-876-PHIL. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Our number is 877-876. Chris Norton joins us. Chris is a telemarketer, pharmaceutical company telemarketer, and at the same time, 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-PHIL. And at the same time, Chris, you are a blogger, and your idea on a woman not being elected president for the next 50 years, which probably flies in the face of what a lot of people think. I mean, given the fact that we've elected a black president, it seems like those members of our society who have been traditionally viewed as unelectable or sort of just off the mainstream or, you know, great citizens but not leaders. It seems like people are looking at everybody differently.
That may be the truth, Mr. Henry, but understand that Barack Obama is a man. He's a black man, but he's still the patriarch. He's the patriarchal image of a president. There's no question that people don't like Obama for being black. I mean, there's just no... You can look all you want at his policies, but they're no more extreme, you know, than, say, any other Democrat for that matter. But so a lot of I'd say most of the dislike of Obama is he's black. I don't think people like having a black man. White people don't like having a black man in that patriarchal role, you know, but they'll live with it. Now, when you talk about, a woman being elected president, now you're saying that's apparent. That's like a paradigm shift, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, a paradigm shift.
Yeah, that's like a paradigm shift where you go from the patriarch to what do you call a matriarch, And so now you're asking the American people not only to you're asking them to base their vote not just on a leader, but there's their sexuality. You know, and
is there always sexuality? Let me ask you a question here. You know about Margaret Thatcher, right?
Yes, sir, I do.
And would you call Margaret Thatcher a good-looking woman?
That's a totally different story. That's the British. And the British have, you know, and I'm saying this with all due respect, but the British are not known for having good-looking, you know, women. And
well, that may be, but maybe the British are just a little more open-minded about their leaders, and they're used to it. They have a queen, you know.
Well, I was going to say that. I was going to say that, actually. They have a queen, and so they're used to having women, you know, run everything. So, for me, I mean, I think the British, you know, I was going to say that they have a woman.
Well, what you originally said is the women are too ugly, right?
The women are too ugly, and they don't have heat. I'm trying to think. They don't have no heat. No sexuality, but they don't have no heat. You know, and in America, they have the potentiality of heat, but right now we don't have one. And so, on top of that, we better get some smoking hot women running for president, otherwise we ain't going to elect no women president on account of the fact that they're not hot right now, you know.
Well, everything you're saying, though, man, has to do with how hot she is, you know.
Well, that's not all of it.
No, but everything you're saying has to do with, the first and foremost, how hot, how good-looking she is. And the British don't have any good-looking women, but they have a tradition of a queen, and that is what helps them accept a woman leader. Here is George in Atlanta on the Phil Hendry Show with Chris Norton. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, I just want to say, man, his premise about the way a woman looks and that she'll be elected on that, Margaret Thatcher looked like my dog's waist valve, and she ruled with an iron fist when it came to foreign policy. So looks are not going to have anything to do with that.
Man, you weren't even listening to what I just was saying, man. I just got done saying that the British are different. And we're talking about America. We're not talking about Britain, Noah. And they're used to having a queen. So they're used to being run by women. That's what I said. Americans are not going to vote for an American female to be president unless she has some sexuality, is what I'm saying.
And you don't think Sarah Palin is good looking?
Dude. Trust me, I've been in adult films, so
what,
I know.
Gay films?
No, she's
what,
not.
What, gay films? She's a very attractive lady.
Yeah, I'm sure she is, man. Good for you. Good luck, you know. But no, she's not really.
Well, what are you saying, Chris? I mean, here's a man who's a voter. Okay.
She's not, dude. I'm telling you, she's funky. There's something. She's just not. So I would say to George in Atlanta, he sounds like a nice guy. You got to raise the bar a little bit, okay? You just do.
Well, what you call raising the bar, Jenny Sanford?
I think Jenny Sanford's hotter than Sarah Palin.
She ain't a politician, man.
Well, I'm telling you right now, you ought to get her to run.
Because and now you see that Argentinian woman? You're calling that Argentinian good looking?
She ain't from America, man. I ain't even talking about her. I'm talking about.
Well, you said
about,
she was hot. You said that Argentinian woman was hot, and I got to tell you, buddy.
Well, yeah.
You need glasses then.
Can I ask you something, man? Where are you from?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, well, thank you. That explains that.
What is that supposed to mean, man? I lived in Atlanta, man. They got some hot-looking women down there.
Oh, yeah, okay.
All peaches, buddy.
Yeah, with the fuzz on their chin to prove it. But
yeah, that's real funny, Chris. All right. I thank you very much, George.
No, I'm just saying, man. I mean, if you want to, you know, if... You know, there's the three F's, man. Fat, you know, effed, and ugly. And
you know what, man? You and your fugly and your the three F's.
You've never heard of the three F's.
Fat, effed, and ugly?
Those are the three F's, yeah. You're not going to elect no woman who has the three F's. And
well, what are you talking about, the three F's, man? What I want to ask you is the following thing, okay? You know, all sexism aside... All looks aside,
Mr. Henry, looks are a part of it, and you have to understand on a sensible level. If you don't,
no, all looks aside, man. Are you telling me that the American people have no ability to electing a female president unless she's hot?
What? Yeah, a consensus. Sarah Palin wasn't going to get elected president. Hot? Does she look like Paris Hilton? No, I don't think she do. Does she look like Anna Nicole Smith? No. That's a big, you know, eject. So those are women that we thought, well, I mean, not anymore. Anna Nicole Smith is not hot no more, but we felt that they were, and that's the point that I tried to make earlier in the broadcast.
Yeah, great, man. Chris Norton on his blog, Beauty is in the Eye of the Voter, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Phil here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, cleaning up the evening, cleaning up, pretty much, with some stories here. The American Idol story has to do with Howard Stern taking over for Simon Cowell, but they don't know. The producers are eager to hire him. I got money that says Howard Stern wouldn't go near your show. He doesn't need the bread, so it's an image thing. Does he want to be associated with your show? Maybe. But it depends, you know. It depends on what he's allowed to do on the show. And I would guess it's a big no, American Idol. You could trot out some bread. I bet you the cat would be happy to consider it. But he is a pretty wealthy guy right now. Speaking of American Idol, anytime we talk about that show, we have to pull some of the worst auditions of the year. Here's one from a guy named Brian Krause in Chicago, a soldier. He swears up and down he isn't kidding. Obviously, he is. And whatever.
Sir, my name is Brian Krause. I'm 27. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was in the Army. I was in Korea. Being in the Army is very depressing, so they need some form of entertainment, some type of morale. I used to sing for the troops. I was told not to sing in uniform, and, I couldn't help it, and I got in trouble. Screw you, Sergeant Hart. I'm the next American Idol.
That's great. So he thinks that he's got maybe an in for some kind of a comedy routine. So, you know, he will get hired for instance, a film, a comedy film. Here's his big punchline.
Hi.
Hey, good afternoon, ma'am.
Your name is Brian?
Yes.
Okay, anything we need to know?
I'm going to be doing one of my favorite artists today, Tawny Tim.
Oh, okay. Anytime you're...
Tawny Tim.
Okay, Brian, is this a joke?
No, it's not a joke, ma'am.
Yeah, no.
And do you tiptoe like that?
Ask anyone from grade school till current. Yes, I do, ma'am.
Brian, swear on your mother's life that was not a joke.
Yes, Simon, I swear on my mother's life that is not a joke. That is my singing voice.
Because he doesn't have any value in his mind. He doesn't know what it means to swear on your mother's life, so he'll go ahead and swear on his mother's life. And obviously he's doing shtick, and it's really super lame, and the fact that Simon had to ask him if he was kidding... All right, so there's that. Dude, the Army is really depressing. Then here's an idea. Don't enlist. Number two, it was funny in the Army, but this here's civilian life. And while things are bad in the Army, especially when you're fighting in a war like in Iraq, Afghanistan, or other theaters, out here in civilian life, when you're doing comedy, it's brutal too. Over there, Army, good. Over here, Army, comedy, no good. Over here, you die in comedy. Over there, you die in combat. But here, you come over, do comedy here, you die. Egg, you lay. Over there, bomb you drop. You drop bomb good. Here, you lay egg bad. You suck. Thank you. Now, McCotter and Boner, I mean Boehner. You know, Boehner, if for no other reason, would you change your name? Only because I'm not that literate, man. Every time I see a story about you, I get a little depressed, so it's all I can do to read the story and pronounce your name right at the same time. Nonetheless, Thad McCotter, who may be Catholic, I don't know, John Boehner, who may be Catholic, but I doubt it, have joined a group of Catholic leaders calling for President Barack Obama to fire Harry Knox and appoint the Advisory Council of the Faith Based. And what did he say? He said he didn't agree with the Pope when it came to the Pope's opinions on condoms. Now, this guy's name is Knox, Harry Knox. He's an appointee on the Advisory Council on Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships, and they say he's an anti-Catholic bigot. And why do they call him that, by the way? Because bigot and racist and blood-sucking sheeny, and we might as well throw the N-word in. We're just about ready to use it anyway. All of these words, all of these offensive phrases, you don't have to call somebody the N-word. You don't have to say someone's, you know, all the other words. But the opposite of that, with an anti-Catholic bigot. An anti-Catholic bigot, why? Because he disagrees with the Pope? Are you two guys so stupid that the world just passes you by each and every minute? Honest to God, or is it just more of the same from you guys? Let me ask you a question, man. I'm a Catholic. I do not agree with the Pope on a lot of things. Does that make me an anti-Catholic bigot? Because I got news for you two jackasses. I've been to reconciliation and Holy Communion over the last couple of weeks. I've taken the sacraments, and I'm a Catholic. I don't agree with the damn Pope on a lot of stuff. Anyway, Knox this week stood by his statement that he made late last year that Pope Benedict XVI is hurting people in the name of Jesus by saying that condoms actually help exacerbate the spread of HIV in Africa. And these two guys, Thad McCotter, who I used to think was a pretty fair-minded guy, but he's just another party ideologue, and this guy John Boehner, they say he's an anti-Catholic bigot because he didn't happen to agree with the Pope on a certain issue having to do with condoms. I think, Boehner, for all the effectiveness that you've had, and let me tell you something, because we told you guys this last week, I thought it was very funny, to listen to all of these jackasses lining up like they're in a movie line saying, oh boy, that Pelosi, she's hurting Obama. Boy, that Reid, yeah, he's hurting Obama. Well, no kidding. Well, if you'd listened to this show about 8 months ago, we told you the same thing. I said that that guy's got to, he's either got to kick their asses in the line or kick them out of there. And he hasn't done either thing. That's Obama's everlasting mistake. Boehner and McCotter are both Roman Catholic? Thank you. Good. So am I. And I think they're anti-Catholic bigots. And I'll sign a letter, and I'll get all my Catholic friends to say both Boehner and McCotter have joy holes in their pockets. What do you think of that? At a press conference earlier this week, Harry Knox was asked by a reporter if he wanted to clarify his previous criticism of Pope Benedict XVI, as if anybody cares about anything that Pope Benedict XVI says, unless, of course, it's something that they can turn to their advantage.
He put out a statement saying Pope Benedict XVI was, quote, hurting people in the name of Jesus because he did not support promoting the use of condoms as a means to control the spread of HIV. And I was wondering, do you still believe the Pope's position on condoms is hurting people in the name of Jesus?
I do.
All right, so even in light of Edward Green, a Harvard professor, researcher in AIDS prevention, said that the Pope was correct in that condom use aggravates HIV, the spread of it.
Who? Edward Green of what?
Do you still hold to that position?
He's simply incorrect in his assertion. All the other evidence of science shows otherwise.
There you go. Who is he? Evergreen or Mr. Evergreen or Captain Evergreen or Professor Evergreen of Harvard? Who's that? And who are you? And who am I? Representative John Boehner was asked about Knox in a press conference this week, and he got very serious and in that voice of his.
He should resign,
yeah.
And I've agreed to sign a letter. We can't have in the White House an anti-Catholic bigot, and that's what this gentleman appears to
be. This guy, John Boehner, is also a joke. He's as much of a joke now as Reid. He's as much of a joke now as Pelosi. This stupid clown, and I'm telling you, I don't care what anybody says, I'm a Catholic. And if this guy's a Catholic, then there's no such thing. For that guy to waste the time of the American people, calling people names, signing things, getting a guy fired because he disagrees with the Pope on condoms and calls him an anti-Catholic bigot because he disagrees with the statement of a world religious leader on the use of condoms in a continent that is infected, that is overrun with, that is absolutely rife with the disease of AIDS. Africa, where they're dying by the carload, by the pound, man, by the ton. And the Pope makes a statement, already makes a statement, and this guy, this Knox, he makes a statement, hey, you know, I disagree with the Pope, and he's an anti-Catholic bigot, and I gotta have my time wasted by jackasses like Boehner and McCotter fooling around with anti-Catholic bigot resolutions. You know something? You got to be deaf, dumb, and blind. And I'm telling you that deaf, dumb, and blind to at least disagree with the premise that what's happening in Washington in terms of getting stuff moving, this is not all about Obama. Listen to these jackasses. And if you think I'm talking strictly about Republicans, like I said, it was not too long ago we were saying if he doesn't get rid of that Reid and Pelosi and about a half a dozen others, then you only got yourself to blame, Obama, for what happens next. And I'm talking about 2010, where we are right now with the midterms and beyond. You know, it's like, thank you very much for that majority that we had for the blink of an eye. You're going to get a whole bunch of really stupid people elected. A lot of stupid Republicans. I'll give an example. As I said, this guy Tancredo and the rest of these people today, all of a sudden they got a bright idea that they want to have some sort of a literacy test for voting. All right. A lot of people, I would not say that Tom Tancredo is a stupid man. He's not a stupid man. He's a smart man. Is he a racist? Like, for instance, Rachel Maddow called him today. Well, that's what Rachel does. Anybody that is in this sort of a fallback position that has been naturally assumed in the past by racists, she has to assume is a racist. But she misses the point. She misses the point about the Tea Party. She misses the point about the whole Tea Party. Tancredo's not a racist. He's stupid when it comes to the issue of voting and voting rights. Voting is something everybody gets to do in this country, regardless of who you are. There's only one requirement. You have to be of age. You have to be of the majority age. And you're allowed to vote. Now, yes, you can't have committed crimes. There's things that the Constitution is very clear on when it comes to voting. But nonetheless, you don't have to know how to read. You don't have to know how to write. You don't have to read a newspaper. You can be the stupidest jackball that ever walked the face of the earth. It is left up to the people, no matter who they are, to select our leaders by way of the ballot. Now, we've had poll taxes, which were used in the South to keep black people from voting. We've had literacy tests, which have been used all over the country to keep poor people from voting. And this isn't just something that was a part of American history. It was a part of the history of the world when it came to extending the democratic franchise to the average person. And to suggest, to even consider a literacy test to make sure someone qualifies to vote is to be as ignorant of history. It's not racism. He's an imbecile. Well, Tom Tancredo, I dare say, Mr. Henry, you couldn't be. I'll tell you, I'll sit here and tell him to his face, Mr. Tancredo, you got to be the dumbest guy in the world. I hear you're pretty smart, but this is the stupidest thing I think I've ever heard you say, and you've said a few dumb things. You got to be kidding me, man. That sounds almost as stupid as when Harry Reid said the surge is not working. Remember those days? He's not a racist. He's an idiot. And the Tea Party, they're not racists. They're not bad people. They're not very bright when it comes to understanding what a health care bill is, when it comes to understanding what government takeover of a health care bill is, when it comes to understanding what socialism is, when it comes to understanding the history of the country, when it comes to socialism and public programs. They don't understand what the founding fathers stood for, even though they walk around with the three-cornered hats. They're all about image. They're all about billboards. They're all about cliches. They're all about placards and posters. In other words, they're all about the very things that they say they don't like. Sloganeering and soundbiting and con jobs and the fast shuffle of the corporate boogie-woogie, man. If you guys want something to change, start off by changing yourselves. Don't adopt the very philosophies and the very systems and maneuvers and strategies of your opponents. And Boehner, you know what? You're going to wind up like Ron Paul. I bet you they'll elect your stupid ass for years to come out of that district in Ohio. But you ain't doing anybody any favors. And I'll go back to what I've said a million times, because you know what? I'll never tire of saying this. When you had your shot on that Friday, when you invited Obama to step up to the plate and answer questions from Republican congressmen, you had your opportunity. He was there all by his lonesome, baby. And there you were, and there were all the Republicans, and you guys had the opportunity of a lifetime to rip him an ass. Because let's face it, you know, first of all, you had the majority of people in the room. You had the philosophy. You know that you're right. You know, the big government this and big government that. And there was Obama all by his lonesome, man. No teleprompter. And you guys were about as worthless as a freaking G-string in a blizzard. You couldn't get anything done. And now you're doing it. I think that that was your, I think a Rubicon was crossed by the Republicans in Congress on that, just as the Democrats have crossed their Rubicon, just as the Democrats have shown that they don't understand this president any better than the Republicans do, just as the Democrats have shown that they're as clueless as anybody when it comes to selling any kind of a program sensibly. There's such ideologic progressives, they don't understand that there is a pragmatism coming from this White House any more than the Republicans understand it. The Democrats have crossed their Rubicon. Obama's still trying to keep them riled up and ready to go. But to be honest with you, they don't understand this guy. They're stunned. They thought they did and they don't. And we also predicted that one 8-9 months ago, a year ago. Now come the Republicans. They crossed their Rubicon with this Q&A with the president a few weeks ago. You talk about a pack of guys that sat in that room like they were a bunch of cows waiting to get stunned before the slaughter. They were all sitting there with their jaws hanging open. That was their chance, and it was televised, and the world could have seen how the Republicans were going to take Obama apart, like the man said, like warm bread. And guess what? And it was all of them there. Boehner, McCotter, oh yeah. All right. So what does it mean? It means the Republicans have, like I said, they got no juice going. They got no power. And the Democrats are the biggest feckless bunch of jackasses. And just like people have been saying the last few days, Obama's the guy that's leading the charge now. Obama's got everything in his favor. Now let's see if he can run with the ball to the goal line. All the Democrats can do is root him on now, and the Republicans can't do anything to stop him. Well, let's see if he's got enough people around him with the brains to help him push this thing across the goal line, like he said. All right, 877-876 fills the number. Coming up, the stories we couldn't get to.
Oracle.com, like you said.
Don't tell him what to do. Go vacuum that crap up that they left overnight.
Serious.
What is it?
Oracle.com.
What is Oracle? Is that the vacuum?
Yeah, it's a way better vacuum than that one. What's that one?
I don't know. Something I found at a five and dime. Turn that thing off, man. A cheap piece of crap. Turn it off. Get out of here. It's smoking and everything.
Yeah, I got to go and get it at work, man. They got a lot of them to choose from. They're a sponsor, too.
No kidding. Oric.com. All right. Now, you turn that off.
Oh, it's off.
That ain't an Oric. All right. Time now for the stories. Or not the story. Yeah, the stories we couldn't get to here in a world famous Phil. No, not the story. Oh, yes, the story. No, not the story. We couldn't get to that we're getting to right now here in a world famous Phil Hendry show. God, that vacuum cleaner, man. Is that smoke or is that just still dirt from the floor?
I think it is dirt.
This place is filthy. All right. In Dubai, a traditional Emirati restaurant in Dubai has added a new entree to its menu, billed as a fat-free choice for carnivorous but health-conscious diners, the camel burger. The 20 UAE dirhams, that's $5.45. The local house restaurant offers a quarter-pound camel burger loaded with cheese and smothered in burger sauce. You better believe that. The Express Weekly newspaper reported on this after the reporter that reported on it choked to death. No, he's fine. Ali Ahmad Esma, local house assistant manager, told the paper that the burger patties were fat and cholesterol-free, but he declined to say how the outlet tenderized the traditionally tough camel meat. He said it's a trade secret. Oh, yeah.
Probably saw a lot of fat women out back.
Shut up. Anyway, camel meat is widely eaten in some Arab countries, but it's not typically sold in supermarkets or served in restaurants. And generally, the camel that is eaten was married at one time to one of the... I'm kidding around, and that was pretty bad. In other news, in Knoxville, people probably can't tip cows, but a cow tipped a person in Knoxville, Tennessee. Then it stepped on him. An ambulance was called to the University of Tennessee Agriculture campus on Friday morning. Fire Department Captain D.J. Corcoran told the Knoxville News Sentinel, the first responders found a 40 to 50-year-old man who said he was working with cattle in a pen when one knocked him down and stepped on his chest. What a stretch for cattle tipping for that headline, man.
I don't know what it means.
They want to get a cow tip headline, so they stretch to that. Anyway, Corcoran said the man was alert and joking about being stepped on by a cow as he was put in the ambulance. He was taken to the University of Tennessee Medical Center to be examined by a veterinarian. No, by a regular human doctor. Cow tipping or pushing over a dozing bovine is largely discounted as a myth, much like snipe hunting. Yeah, but we thought we'd stick that in there because, if you'll pardon the expression. And finally, Fresno named America's drunkest city, the top drunk city, Fresno, followed by Reno, Billings, Montana, Riverside, California, I believe that, Austin, Texas, St. Louis, Missouri, San Antonio, Texas, Lubbock, Tucson, Arizona, and Bakersfield, California. Phil Hendry Show produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Ralph Rodriguez. Later.
Phil Hendry.